Hallelujah. Let's worship a little longer. Praise God. There's such a sweet presence of God here. Let's invite him to have his way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It was my pleasure, my wife and I and the Rossings, we were able to meet with Brother and Sister Favors, enjoyed dinner with them and their beautiful children. Just a pleasure to spend some time with them. Missionaries to the nation of Luxembourg. And we talked about a lot of things. I asked a couple questions about the nation of Luxembourg, and unfortunately, you're not going to be able to hear all of the history that I got to hear because we just don't have enough time for that. But I want to let you know that we were blessed by being able to spend some time with them. Hopefully, we can be a blessing to them. Brother Favors, come.
Thank you so much. You can be seated if you'd like. Thank you so much for having us for a midweek service. It's an honor to be here. It's such a pleasure to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So good to be here with all of you. And I pray for Pastor tonight that he starts feeling better. Man, I know what that's like. My wife and I just recently had a few issues ourselves, but our God's a healer. Our God's a deliverer, amen, and he helps us. He gives us strength, amen? Amen. Well, it's an honor to be with you. My wife and I, were in the state of Texas when we were called to go to a place that I thought was a city in Germany. Amen. My wife and I were there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, and I was the assistant pastor there. And someone very familiar to this area, it's a good friend of mine, named Pastor Joe Hanthorn, pastors over in Mequon, was a man that was there on staff at the church. When I walked into a church at 26 years old, having not known the Lord, and stumbled off of the street and onto the back row of a pew, and I met Brother Hanthorn that day. And it was then that I gave my life to the Lord, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it was about 5 months later, I was involved in ministry. Now that's fast. It was about 5 months later that I started expressing my obedience. Because I'll tell you what, when I came to the Lord, there was a wonderful man there. His name was Brother McGahey. And this pastor was one of those people that you sometimes meet that are very precious, because the sort of lifestyle that I had, the world that I came out of, knew nothing about stability, knew nothing about balance. And so the wreckage that I had left behind when I came out of the world and into the church, the man of God that met me there was something like I had never seen before. I'd never met someone so stable, so consistent, so balanced. For 26 years, I didn't know that a man could express compassion. I didn't know that a man could be loving. I didn't know that someone could be the same way day in and day out. I had never seen anything like that. But there's something about walking with God. There's something about that Spirit of God being in somebody's life and having the Word of God in your life that just stabilizes everything. And I didn't know a thing about that. But it's something that I've grown to love about the people that I see. That when I see people that have been just in the same place that I was, I can see over time how the Word of God brings about life change, and it's changed every one of us. Every single person that's in here right now is a testimony of the powerful blood of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, the Word of God, how it does exactly what it says it will do. It will, through the power of God, it will give you a transformed mind. It will give you a circumcised heart. It will clean you, change you, and reform your world. I didn't know a thing about that, but when I came into the church that day, it was something just so powerful that's never left me. Those few things that we sometimes overlook, that consistency. Amen. But my wife was raised on the mission field. That's a polar opposite world right there. At 6 years old, her parents were home missionaries in the state of Maryland. They left the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and went to La Paz, Bolivia, to a third world country. When she was 6 years old, they became missionaries to the country of Bolivia. Her grandparents were the pioneering missionaries of that country, and her parents went in the 80s. She grew up in a third world country, speaking another language, working as a missions, in missions at 6 years old. Wonderful family, powerful people, and that is something so amazing to be able to grow up like that. And so my wife and I come from very different worlds, but the Lord brought us together at a general conference. We met in Texas, and she had left South America, gone to Barcelona, Spain, and they had started a new church there in the city of Barcelona. It's now a powerful revival church. Amen. Her parents did a phenomenal job. Some of our family, her sister and our brother-in-law, now pastor that church there. And she was in Barcelona, flew to General Conference, and saw me peeking over the top of one of Brother Bernard's books on doctrine. Amen. I saw her at the Global Missions booth, and I had to get a closer look. And I acted like I was interested, and I have since bought the book. Brother Bernard's book on the new birth, amen, that's good stuff. But at the time, I was using it like this. And I was just watching her, and her dad being a wonderful missionary, I had respect for him, but I didn't really know them well, and I just thought, as soon as he moves, I'm going to walk over there and introduce myself. And it's just how it happened. As soon as he moved out of the way, I went over and talked to my soon-to-be wife. I introduced myself, and it's an amazing thing. As soon as I introduced myself, the Lord said, "This is who you're going to marry." We went out to dinner together and chatted for a little bit, and at the end of one meal, we both just had that feeling, this is going to be a lifetime thing. This is going to be a long-term commitment. After one time of sitting down, do you know that's how it is when we meet the Lord? When you meet the Lord, there's something about it. He says, look, this is going to be permanent. It's going to be a long-term commitment. I'm what you've been looking for. Amen. My wife sometimes jokes and says that when she met me, I walked up to her and said, my name's Jeremy Favors, and I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. But I didn't say it. I honestly didn't say that. It's just not true. But my wife and I did. It was shortly after that. She left Barcelona and came to Texas. Can you believe that? Overseas. She was there overseas doing great things for God and meets a young man from Texas, leaves there, comes to Texas. I, at that time, had come 8 years of being there. I had become the assistant pastor of the church that I walked into from off the street. And that was an honor to minister to those people for nearly a decade that had seen me come in not knowing a thing about anything, but just sit on the front row and say, I want everything that God's got. I want everything that's available. I want everything that I felt to become permanent in my life. Amen. Isn't that what we're after, is what all God has? Amen. And so my wife and I, we were there for about 2.5 years together, and God called us to the country of Luxembourg. I was on the phone with my father-in-law one day talking to him, and he didn't know that we were in this transitional period. We had been praying about what we were going to do in the next phase of our ministry. We had gotten to the place where we thought we were going to take a church somewhere. I tried out for a few in Texas and a few in Indiana, and we really just didn't feel a connection, but we knew God was taking us somewhere. And I got on the phone, and this missionary father-in-law of mine says, "Jeremy, we need to talk." When he says that, I just say, "Yes, sir." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Hey, listen to me. I was over in Austria, in Vienna, and I was in a meeting, and we were talking about Western Europe and what the needs were there. And there was a," he said, "in that meeting, your name came up, and they mentioned the country of Luxembourg." And I said, "I don't know a thing about it. I don't know anybody in Vienna. I've never been to Austria." And he said, "Well, why don't you just think about it?" He said, And when you come here for Christmas this year," I had committed to going because they hadn't had their three daughters together in 10 years for Christmas because they're on a mission field. They're all involved in different types of ministry. I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be there." And he said, "When you come to Barcelona, we might drive over to Luxembourg and just see what you feel." That's 14 hours away by vehicle. That's not around the corner. But when he said, "Why don't we just drive over there and see what you feel?" it hit me right then. It just, poof, it went all over me. I couldn't get away from it. And what I tell people is it normally just felt like fireworks going off inside of my spirit. And what we had been praying about and fasting about, what seemed like something distant, all of a sudden just showed up and began stirring me so powerfully. But for three straight days, I didn't eat. I could barely sleep. And all I could do was get on my computer and look into this place called Luxembourg. I talked to my pastor. He started trying to help me understand that that might not be the will of God, that I should stay. We had quite a few things that we were doing there in Texas. And then all of a sudden, he says, "You know what? This is going to be the will of God." I told him I felt it. We called headquarters and they said, "You know what? We've never had anybody go to Luxembourg. We've never had a missionary in Luxembourg. That's a country that's never been opened. And you've never been a missionary. You've never even been an aimer. You've not been an associate missionary. So we can't send you there as a missionary, and we can't give you a schedule to raise funds to go there. You would just have to go as a volunteer on your own if you're really wanting to go there. And we'll make an exception. We'll send you on the AIM program, but you won't have a missionary supervisor. There's no one there for us to connect you to. There's never been a Bible study taught in that country. There's not one contact we can give you for a phone number or a reference. You would just have to go on your own, and we can't help you with sponsorship or funding." And I said, "We'll go." We sold our furniture. We sold my truck. We sold her car. I went to my garage. We sold my motorcycle. We sold the boat. We sold everything that we could get our hands on and just started selling everything that we had and said, "We're going to get some money to go to the country of Luxembourg." My pastor saw that I was selling everything I had, and he said, "We're going to take up an offering." He mentioned it to the church. They gave very sacrificially. We went to the district conference that same month. I told them what I was doing, and they said, "We're going to help you." They gave an offering. We funded mostly our own way with a few offerings that were given to us. We packed two suitcases and took this Bible. And we flew to my father-in-law's for Christmas. And I didn't know that 3 months prior to that, when I bought the ticket and said, "We'll show up in Barcelona," I didn't know that was my ticket to the mission field. But it fell in place that the papers were approved. Everything was in line. We had gotten rid of everything. We set up what we needed to in Texas, and we got on a plane and we flew there. My father-in-law and mother-in-law drove us 14 hours from Barcelona to Luxembourg. We checked into a hotel. They left. We stayed. We didn't know the language. In Luxembourg, they speak Luxembourgish, German, French. Texans don't speak that. Luxembourgish is German, Dutch, and French blended. And to be able to rent something there, you've got to be able to read, speak, and understand French because that's their administrative language. German is their media language. And so we went there with no vehicle. We had no cell phone. We didn't know the language. We didn't have a way to get to a grocery store, even when we found out there was one. We didn't know anybody there. We were just in a hotel following the call of God. We would get food down at a corner market where they sold newspapers. We'd buy a box of cold soup, pour it into cups, and eat bread. We had no way to cook, no way to heat up anything, till we met a young lady that was a backslider from Texas in Germany, stationed at the Air Force base over the border. She found out we were there because we posted something on Facebook. She came to Luxembourg. We prayed her back through to the Holy Ghost. She went back to Germany and was telling them what happened to her. We baptized two more people on the Air Force base. We started a Bible study there. There was a Bible study in Trier, which is the Roman capital of Germany. Amen. They've got the black gate there that's been there since the Romans made that the Roman capital of that time. We set up a Bible study in that same ancient city and began teaching God's word. In the first year that we were there, 19 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. 8 of them were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a young man we met on the sidewalk that was a tour guide for the city. He was a radio personality in Luxembourg, and his mother was retired from Luxembourgish Parliament. He said, I want you to meet me at 5 o'clock in the morning, and what we're going to do is we're going to start selling coffee, and we're going to set up a big canopy, and we're going to have a big orange lizard that dances and sings. And I'm going to get on the radio and tell people to come there and meet you. I'm going to get on the radio and tell them about you coming here and what you want to do. And I'm going to do it for free. So we had someone mentioning on the radio that we were there and people coming to that location. And we connected with people from all over the place. Amen. We ended up renting a doctor's office in the downstairs basement of the business district of Luxembourg. Luxembourg is a wealthy country. It's a banking nation. Trillions of euros of investment dollars go through that country every single day. They're a European capital like Brussels and Strasbourg. It's an EU capital. They call it the Twin Towers that are in the business district where EU Parliament meets. And right down the road is a little doctor's office. And down on the basement level is the first apostolic church in the country of Luxembourg. Amen. We went there as volunteers, and headquarters called us to general conference that year. We went before the board. They appointed us missionaries to the country of Luxembourg. We deputized for about a year and a half, went back fully funded. We've been there 5 years, and we're the first missionaries to that country, and we're the only missionaries in that nation. Amen. Since we've been there, in 5 years of time, we've focused on starting small groups. And we've started teaching people to be teachers. We've started a Luxembourgish website that on that website, we've got the entire Exploring God's Word Bible study archived with me teaching, and we've got it in 2 different languages. There's an entire discipleship program on that same website that takes them through 12 lessons of discipleship in 2 different languages that they can access anywhere at any time. And there's apostolic leadership lessons also available if they get a passcode from me. Anyone at any time there, at any part of the country, can sit down with a cup of coffee or on a train or in an apartment or a church or wherever they are, and they can get apostolic teaching right there in their hands. Amen. Even if we're not there, they can sit down and still continue. And since we've come back, there's a young couple there also from Texas doing a phenomenal job. They're staying in our apartment that we now have, and they're there rent-free. Praise God, so they can stay longer and do more with less money because we want to reach that country. Amen. We want everybody that's involved in this to be successful so that God's will can be done in that country. I want to play just a short promotional video and show you just a little bit of the country. And I apologize for the lack of time because I could talk about it all night long. I'm excited about it. I want you to see this.
God is calling to the nation of Luxembourg. His creative word is being spoken right now over the cities and souls of this country. Since 963 AD, when this nation was founded, God has seen and God has heard, and today He speaks. Arise. The time for spiritual sleep is over. The hour of darkness has come to an end. The light is come. Jesus called to those who were hurting, to those that were lame. He called to the lost and to those that were broken and said, arise. Today, that call is going out to the country of Luxembourg, every tongue and every nation. This small country has 12 cities, 102 towns and villages. There are 642,000 souls currently living in Luxembourg, and it is God's will that all of them are saved. The population is made up of 170 different nationalities. He is calling key people in key places. People that will unlock language groups, cultural groups, and ethnic groups. He is speaking life, form, and structure as he did to the lame that couldn't walk. Arise, be whole, and move forward under the power of the Holy Ghost. The lifeless will live, blind eyes will see, His glory will be revealed. He's calling to individual hearts, to those that will lead, and to the nation of Luxembourg itself. Arise. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Thank you, Jesus. What a God. What steps He goes to orchestrate His will and His plan, and for this beautiful couple to answer the call. Tonight, we have the opportunity. We may not be able to go physically, but we can send money to fund this incredible work in Luxembourg. So quickly tonight, I just wanted to present to you the opportunities for ways to give to this couple and this beautiful work that's beginning. Not beginning, it's going. So if you want to go tonight with your money, you can give online through our Church Center app, specifically through the special missions. That's where you can give specifically to this. If you want to support funds, He gave me their top three projects that they need money for: language study, evangelism, and then education for their children. So if you'd like to support one of these specific projects, you can make a memo in your check. You can send me a text, an email. You can scratch it on a note and hand it to me. However you want to get me the information, I'll make sure that it gets passed along to them. And then we currently do not support them, but we're going to take them on as a PIM. Pastor has asked us to do that tonight. And so if you'd like to commit personally to that as well, you can send me a note and say, hey, Sister Jessica, I want to support them. Count me in for $10 a month. Count me in for $25 a month. Count me in for $500 a month. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, give it and we will get it to them. If you have any questions, be sure to ask me. But again, you can put in the memo specifically where you want this to go and we can help support the work in Luxembourg together. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your kindness. I appreciate that. The things that you may be thinking right now that you might be able to give, just let the Lord speak to you, whatever it is. We are not leaving the mission field. We just recently went from intermediate to career missionaries at this past school of missions, and so our lives are being given to this cause. It's not something that is a temporary thing, so you will be making an investment in souls with whatever you give. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's about. You know what? That is the greatest investment that we can ever invest in, is souls, because that's eternal. That's what's going to matter when it's all over, is the souls that made it. I always love to think about that day that we hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not only do we get to hear that, what's powerful to me is, I mean, as if that wasn't rewarding enough, to have the Lord look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful. But then over the shoulder that we look over beside us and behind us to see a string of people that are there because we were the one that walked into their world and spoke to them. And even, you know, I spoke to a man the other day. I was staying in Mequon, and I met a man there from Austin, Texas, that his brother was a pastor. He's been away from God for a long time. Amen. And I just walked up to him, said hi, talked to him, said what I was doing, and he just starts telling me about how he used to live for God, and his brother is a pastor, and he's living up here doing this and that and something else. And immediately I just started telling him what God could do in his life and what God had still had for him, and told him about the church 5 minutes from where he was staying, right on Mequon Road. And the thing is I invited him to church. He didn't come. That's okay. Do you know that? How many times can we look back in our life and there was somebody there that spoke something that day, and it wasn't a decision that we made that day and said we're going to do it, but it was one more thing that God put in our way, that there was just those breadcrumbs he was leaving out there, and it was touch, after reach, after the love of God and the grace of God pursuing us and chasing us down year after year. And he wouldn't give up on us until we said yes. He wouldn't stop until we lifted our hands. He wouldn't stop loving and stop reaching and stop sending, because he already had given everything that needed to be given to reach us. And he would put one more person after another person in our lives just to show up and point back to him and issue that instruction and mention that one word, and it stuck with us. And soon enough, eventually, all those seeds grew something that produced lasting fruit. I used to get so discouraged talking to people, and I finally realized God's got a plan. God's in control. God's always got a plan. And there might be a man still sitting in Mequon tonight that didn't come to church that same Sunday, but he might just be sitting there right now going, you know what? That's the last time I turn down an invitation to get my life right. That's the last time I tell somebody no. I'm just about to walk right into the presence of God and say yes and give my life to him. And that's what he does. He calls and he reaches and changes our lives. That's what he does. God is a missionary God. It didn't actually start with the Apostle Paul going on his missions. It didn't even actually start in the Gospels when the Great Commission was instructed. It didn't even start then at that time. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where you hear the Lord coming into the garden saying, hey, where have you been? I'm looking for you. We used to walk together in the cool of the day. Where art thou? That's the first missionary call in the Bible. It begins in the book of Genesis with a missionary God speaking those words. Where are you? Why are you hiding? Where are you? Why are you away from me? Because I've already got something that started from the foundation of the world. I've already got something, and I'm about to show you. I'm going to take a lamb, and I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to wrap you, and I'm going to cover you, and I'm going to call you back into something that might take a little bit of time to repair, but my blood's going to cover it. My righteousness is going to robe it, and my presence is going to guide it. And although we don't see the cross that day, Jesus Christ was typified in that moment, and the rescue plan was initiated and put into motion, and that same missionary God is calling out, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy and weary, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls. That's rest this world doesn't know anything about. I'll give you rest for your souls. 12 years old. I worked a full-time job at 13 years old, traveling the country. Paid federal income tax and Social Security at 13 years old. Worked on a construction crew. Drove a dually truck pulling a trailer of equipment illegally. Wore a hard hat and sat in business meetings on construction sites. They said, just keep your head down and don't talk to the insurance people. Made quite a bit of money. But grew up around that. Grew up hard, grew up fast. Had an apostolic mother, alcoholic father. And decided I was going to explore what life was. By the time I was 15 years old, I was seriously into drugs. At 13, I was such a bad alcoholic that I was working in Meridian, Mississippi. And my father was down in Biloxi gambling. Amen. Someone from Mississippi. My father was down at a casino down there gambling. Left me where I was staying at an extended stay apartment on my 13th birthday by myself. And so I decided, hope the children are all gone. They're here. I can clean it up. So I stayed there on my 13th birthday and took a tall bottle full of brown liquid and poured 13 small glasses in a row to celebrate my 13 years of living. And stayed there one after another, drinking, 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 drinking. And it wasn't strange to me because that was just the life that I lived. And boy, did I have a time that night. It's amazing what a person will do to their self when God is not in their life. It's amazing the misery we put ourselves through when we don't know that there is help, hope, and salvation. It's amazing. It's amazing what we live with. It's amazing what we put ourselves through because we won't say yes. It's amazing what we subject ourselves to because we won't admit He's the way and the truth and the life. It's amazing what we make our bodies put up with and our emotions endure because we just won't say, you know, it's true. He died for me. He was buried for me. And He was raised from a grave for me. That sounds very generic and very simple to most people, but the Apostle Paul calls that the power of God unto salvation. Amen, little brother. Sometimes we just can't simply say those words that He died for me and He was buried for me and He rose from a grave to give me life. Sometimes we just don't say those words because they're not very impressive and they seem to be worn out. But the fact is, if we'll just open our mouth again, if we'll just tell another person, the fact is that's the power of God unto salvation. That's what's going to change somebody's life, that Jesus Christ did die for you. He was buried for you and He did raise from the grave, and there's nothing that can keep you in your sin. There's nothing that can keep you where you are if you'll just call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. At 15 years old, I was so addicted to drugs, but still held a job, traveled all over the world. Well, all over the country by then. I wasn't globally traveling, but traveled all over the place. Person after person would show up in my life. You know what they would say? They would say, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't really even know you. But I feel that God told me to tell you, you're running from God, and God's got something He needs you to do, and you're never going to be happy until you do it. I was working on electrical panels that were going into different plant facilities. And as a teenager, working at 19 years old, building panels that were going into places like PepsiCo, Frito-Lay, Campbell's Soup Corporation, Cadillac, Boeing Air, to run all of their production facilities and all the electrical components that were in those panels. I was over there wiring and putting together so we could go install it. And a man named Carl walks up, had never talked to me before, and said, "I just started working here last week. We've never met. But strange thing is, I pray and I feel a drawing to you, and I need to tell you that God's got something he needs you to do, and you won't be happy until you do it." And I said, "Carl, you're wasting my time, buddy. I've got to get back to work." And I laughed at him. And about a month later, I ended up taking another job up in Colorado Springs. Lived there for a while. Another man showed up, said the exact same thing. This happened over and over and over. It's those touches. It's those reaching moments. It's those God moments where don't give up on telling people what God puts in your heart. You're not a failure when they don't come running to an altar. You're not a failure when they don't come back to the church. You're not a failure when they don't ask for your pastor's cell phone number or repent right in front of you. You're not a failure. You're doing the will of God. You're actually doing the work of an evangelist. You're actually walking in a prophetic element when you speak those words to those people, because God is in it. God is in it. I remember being in Los Angeles, California at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a curb. And while I sat there, I had a tall glass bottle sitting right between my legs. And I sat there in a gang-saturated city in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there as I always did, drinking. And all of a sudden, I hear something coming up behind me. I heard crunching under boots. And I thought, well, this is going to end right here in Los Angeles, California. And I heard something. Don't know if it was audible or just in my spirit, but I got the distinct impression. And I heard the words, "You need to go back to where you came from. And when you get there, you'll find out what you need to do. You're running, and you won't be happy until you do this." And I said, "That's just about enough." And I turned around to tell this person, "That's just about enough." And when I did that, there wasn't anybody standing there. And I thought, what is going on? Now, I'm not going to tell you it was somebody there or somebody not there. I'm just telling you. I don't know if they were there and gone or if it was all just right here in my own spirit. But there was communication. Yes, right. Yeah. And I felt something there that I couldn't actually see. And I did. I went right back to where I was from, which was Texas. And I went back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I was living. And I drove right down the Dallas-Fort Worth airport freeway, right in the middle of a 6 million person population, driving down the highway under the influence of about 3 different things. And while I'm driving down the road, something again began to speak and said, "Turn your head and look to the right." And when I did, I saw a big blue sign that said, "The First United Pentecostal Church of Hearst." And it said, "You need to go in there." I kept driving. I went back to my apartment. Could make no sense of it, so I did what I always did. I went to Chili's and sat down at the bar and ordered myself something to drink. And everybody said, "Lord, help him." Help. Amen. You know how many people live like that? Yeah. You know how many of us used to live like that? Yeah. You know how many people are still out there right now just wanting to hear the voice of God one more time? They're right out there. They're right out there. They're one conversation away. And so, listen to this. I sat there on a bar stool, and a man about 55 years old came in, sat down, started to telling me about how much it was costing him to put his daughter through the university. And that was a conversation. Finally, this man stopped and he looked at me and he said, I don't know you, and I've never done this before. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but do you believe in God?" And I said, "You know, that's a strange question." I said, "I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been thinking about it, but I'm just not sure." And he said, "Well, this makes no sense. He said, I don't know why I'm saying this. He said, but you need to go find a church, and you need to go find it right now, because God's got something he needs you to do, and you won't be happy until you do it. And so I took that glass and I sat it down right there on that counter, and I said, that's it. And I walked out of there and I went to my apartment. I changed clothes, put on the best thing I could find, got in my truck and drove to that church. I walked in the back door and sat down on the back row. And that's when my pastor friend that now pastors in Mequon was there in Texas as the assistant of the church then. And he walked over and said, what are you doing here? How did you come to see us? There was no preaching. There was no preaching. There was no worship. There was nothing really what we would say powerful going on. The praise team was just up here practicing, getting ready for the weekly service. And when I walked in and sat down, something met me there. And the Spirit of God just filled that whole place. And I began weeping like a little baby. And he said, you look like you need to talk. I said, I came here with some real questions, and I need real answers, and I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And for the first time in my life, I was able to say those words. It was like the tumblers on a lock just snapped into place, and I felt like this is finally where I need to be. He took me to his office. Listen to this. He took me to his office. As soon as we got in there, I told him that I had an apostolic mother, alcoholic father, and that I had had some exposure to the church but just never gave my life to God. And he said, well, here's what we're going to do. He said, let me just read to you for a moment. He sits behind his desk, opens up his Bible, and begins with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as soon as he said, in the beginning, God created, something just went, and he looked at me and said, Jeremy, the Holy Ghost just came into this room. And I had tears in my eyes and a crack in my voice. And I said, I feel it. I feel it. He said, all we did was read the first verse. I said, I know, but God's still creating. God is still creating, and he never stops. He never stops. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, filled full of the Holy Ghost. And it was not long after that that the man that was there at that church came to me, the pastor, and he said, will you consider being the youth pastor of this church? And I said, I haven't been here too long, and you've got to have somebody more qualified that could do this. And he said, listen, when you came here, you told me that you'd be willing to do anything I asked you. And I said, yes, sir, it's true. He said, Jeremy, I'm asking you. And I said, I'll do it. A year later, I was licensed with the United Pentecostal Church. Got my general license, was ordained, served there for nearly 10 years, and was called to go to the mission field. And it was something about it. It was something about it. And when I got there, see, because all the stuff that I was doing there in Dallas, Fort Worth, I was busy. Let me tell you, I was busy. I would teach 7 or 8 Bible studies a week. I was driving the church van and over outreach and evangelism. I was helping teach end time ministry. I was over the new converts class and discipleship program. I picked weeds, mowed grass, swept concrete and fixed air conditioners, pulled wire and did everything I could do to help advance the kingdom. Just as busy as I could possibly be. But when the call came to go and start tugging me toward that country, when the call came to go to Luxembourg, no matter what I did, there was no peace in staying because I was supposed to be going. And some of you might just find yourself in a place right now where you're doing work in the kingdom, but there just seems like there's no peace. And I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself and see, is God calling you to go somewhere that you may not even know about? Is God calling you to step into something different that you might not even be aware of? Check your own spirit and see if there's something knocking deep down inside of you that's asking, will you go? Will you go? Because when it all comes down to it, we're going to look back after he said, well done, and we can look over our shoulder, and it's that person, and that person, and that person, and that person that said, he came to where I was and talked to me. And the presence of God came along with it. Presence of God came along with it. I'm going to show just a couple of pictures. If we could show the first slide. We'll start there. I'll just move very quickly through them. I want to read this scripture while they're doing it. 1 John chapter 1. I'll just skip down to verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says this. Listen to this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's us with him. Not just you and I, but we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship with God Almighty. I'll tell you what's powerful for me. And it took me years to just get this simple revelation. While I was there in despair, filth, frailty, and sin, it was not out of God's scope, his understanding, or his view. It wasn't something that surprised God or caught him off guard. God has a plan and always is in control of that plan. And when I look back at my life and I see regret and I see failure and I see wreckage, memories of waking up in rooms and didn't know how I got there, doing things that cause me pain to even think about because it's just so sorrowful, I see that as something just so amazing to realize that God saw that then and said, I see a missionary. We are so performance driven. We are so performance oriented that we've got to be enough, do enough, and measure up enough. And God looks at all of that and says, I understand, but I see him here. But I'm going to put him here. And it's just the same to him here as it is here. Because time doesn't matter to him. It was a lifetime to get from that to that to there. I'm 41 years old and it's taken me all this time to get where God has been trying to send me. But it makes no difference to him because time doesn't matter in the realm that God is in. He looked at that wreckage and said, I've got a plan. I see a missionary. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him my blood and cover him. I'm going to give him my name and empower him. I'm going to give him my spirit and embolden him. And I'm going to send him out to them. I'm going to send him out to them. And we got to the country of Luxembourg, walked all over this city, and I realized quickly there's 170 different nationalities of people that all have different languages, that all have different cultures, that all have different customs. Only 48% of that country is even Luxembourgish. There's people from all over the world that come there because of the business and the wealth and the opportunities that are in that small country. And I thought, we've got to reach more people more quickly, and I can't learn those languages fast enough. I can't keep up with the understanding of all those cultures quickly enough. And we began going to strategic places and praying that God would lead us to specific people. And here's what began to happen. Look at the next one. We went out into the city and we did outreach, ministered to people. Let's click through those. Ministered to people. Amen. Outdoor events, singing, preaching, teaching, reaching out to people. These are two that were baptized at the Air Force base in Germany, husband and wife on the same day, and we started that Bible study there in that old Roman city in the neighboring country over. Look at the next one. This man right here is the financial manager of the Red Cross in Luxembourg. He was raised Roman Catholic, and this man right here told his wife one day, I am going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And she stood in the door. She said, you can't do this to our family. But this man had been in Bible study with me and was teaching his daughter. When he would go home, he would teach her in Luxembourgish. I would teach him in English. This man speaks 6 languages. Most people in that country speak 8 or 9 languages. The children speak 4 languages by the time they're in the 4th grade. And so when we reach some of them, they are key people that unlock vast pockets of people groups that have got so much potential that I tell people that Luxembourg is not just a church location. It's a hub for international evangelism. Some of the people that have been there and left are now pastors' wives in other countries. They're leading ministry in other locations. They're down in Colombia preaching on the streets. Because something happened to them there, and I can't tell you that they're still there today, but I can tell you they're doing the work of God where he has sent them, and that is the kingdom. This man right here, he's still there in Luxembourg, and he recently talked to me about playing those things on our website and hosting a group in the medical practice that he also has in that country. Let's look at the next one. These people are from Venezuela, mother and daughter, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the next one. This lady right here is a diplomat from Costa Rica, several different passport immunities, very connected there. She also raised Roman Catholic, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and her parents flew from Costa Rica to Luxembourg to be a part of this baptism. We baptized her in my garage after an international flight. Her parents land in Luxembourg and come to a garage because it's the power of God unto salvation. They had some questions after that. When they went back to Costa Rica, my wife and I kept teaching them Bible studies online. My wife's fluent in Spanish. She speaks French also. And so we started doing online Bible study with her mother. She received the Holy Ghost online in Costa Rica while we were in Luxembourg. Now, there's these people that you see behind you that now they're going out and they're going to say, it was because of you that you said yes and you went. And now they have been reached. What is this next one? This man right here was imprisoned in Africa. He was in Niger. He was in prison, left there, got an Italian passport. He was in France selling drugs out of an apartment after having gotten out of prison in Africa. I came off the highway, pulled off into a community I'd never been in. He was an hour and a half south of where I was down in France, and I went down there. Not sure of why or what I was going to see, but pulled into an apartment, went down a hallway that was pretty filthy, saw a door just about open, and I popped my head in, and the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I feel peace in this room. And he said, what is going on? What are you doing here? And I pulled out this Bible, and I opened it up. I began talking to him, ministering to him, telling him where I was from and why I had come there. In about 45 minutes, he's there with his hands up in his apartment speaking with other tongues. We left France. We drove to Luxembourg. We went to a lake. We baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ on a day when it was 25 degrees. You can see us in that bottom corner wearing coats because We baptized him, changed clothes, and then put on coats because it was freezing. The word says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. And he can sit there and look at that prison sentence and look at that past of where he was there just selling drugs when someone stepped into his apartment. And what stepped into his apartment wasn't me. It was a testimony. It was the presence and power of God. It was that same young man that was sitting there at the bar saying, why won't I get away from this? What's going on in my world? It was that young man that left Texas, went to Luxembourg, got in a car, drove to France, walked into an apartment building, and this man has been baptized into the kingdom of God. Someone's got to go. Someone's got to go where they are. Someone's got to walk into the weirdness and tell them that there's calm for your storm. Someone's got to tell them there is no impossibility. Let's look at this next one. This lady right here, she is an English-speaking French professor at a university in France. She called me and she said, someone gave me your number and said that if I called you, I could be healed. I said, it's true. If we pray in Jesus' name, God will heal you. She said, can you come find me? Meet me at this apartment. She said, here's what's going on. I've been to specialists in Paris and in Switzerland. I've spent tens of thousands of euros. And I have got stage 3 cancer, brain tumor, that no one can get rid of. And I've been doing radiation treatment. I met her, walked right in, looked at her and said, God is going to heal you. She said, when are we going to pray? I said, you're healed. Jesus, you do it in the name of Jesus. She said, how do I know I'm healed? I said, go back to the specialist. She went to Paris, France, talked to the specialist, called me on the phone and said, Jeremy, after 8 months, tens of thousands of euros, they told me I had no hope. Radiation. They can't find the tumor. I said, amen. 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 Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Please stand to your feet with me. Just reach out to the Lord just for a moment. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we praise your holy name.
Recognize the seed? You remember the times I've spoken to your heart? You understand the call that I've placed on you? It's not something I'm going to remove. It's not something I'm going to take back. But it will stay with you. And it will be with you. As I will stay with you. And I will be with you if you will obey my voice, saith the Lord.
I want to just pray a closing prayer if you'd lift up your hands for a moment. Jesus, when we look at our own lives and we think we can never do enough, never be enough, remind us, you see where we are, and you've got a plan for where we're going. You see, and you know. By the power that's in the name of Jesus right now, release your sovereign will that is bound only in time but known in eternity. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, your will, your sovereignty, your plan be released right now for every person that's in here. Let giftings be released. Let giftings and callings right now be activated for the things that you know we are to do in this last day, in this end time. Power of God come to your people. Boldness come to your people. And call to those that are out there and make your people the witnesses we've been empowered to be. In the name of Jesus. We go into this world to take the gospel every nation. Yes, God.
every nation.
Hallelujah. 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 I know there are people here that God has spoken to your heart, that he has called you to respond. Maybe it's a seed tonight, but maybe it's that last moment when you finally surrender. But respond to the call of God. Respond to the voice of God this evening. Come and pray. Let him give you a clearer understanding. Let him answer the questions that you have asked. Let him speak to your deepest need. The presence of the Lord is here to do the thing that he wants to do in your life. Please come and pray.
My life is in your hands, Lord. I am longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away. give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Continue to pray for a moment longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, O God. Hallelujah. Even here tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. We trust in you. We believe in your word. We believe in who you are and what you have done. Hallelujah. You are able, oh God, to do everything above all we can ask or think. In Jesus' name we claim it. We release it in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the word of God, so be it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. We love you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here this evening. Remember prayer on Friday night. Please continue to pray if you're here in the auditorium. Continue to seek God's face. Praise God. God bless you in Jesus' name.